News from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With critical federal food assistance program SNAP set to run out of funds tomorrow, a federal judge in Rhode Island has temporarily ordered the Trump administration to continue funding those benefits. A Massachusetts judge also asking for more information in that case and says the administration may have to look for ways to fund SNAP or it would be unlawful. More than two dozen Democratic-led states filed the lawsuit after the USDA said it could not use emergency funds. ABC's Jay O'Brien, meantime, says this shutdown is now nearing a new month and a new record.
By mid next week, this shutdown is going to break the record for the longest in U.S. history. And right now, it's definitely going for the record because so far, and this can change, but so far, there's no deal in sight that would end this shutdown.
At least 19 deaths now reported in Jamaica following Hurricane Melissa making landfall this week. The death toll expected to go up as crews reach devastated communities. This is ABC News.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. This week, the Badger Project, a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative journalism group in Wisconsin, reported that it was clearly illegal for the Richland County Sheriff's Department and Richland Center Police Department to charge a minimum $25 fee for all records requests. It stated that, quote, the law enforcement agency's minimum fees, experts say, contradict Wisconsin state law that states any charges for records request must be tied to a calculation of the actual cost of producing the records, end quote. Michael Windle serves as corporate counsel for both the City of Richland Center and Richland County. When talking with Windle, he took full responsibility for the issue. In a memo he wrote to County Administrator Tricia Clements, that, quote, you have tasked me with a review of the sheriff's policy of charging a minimum $25 fee for the provision of records subject to a public records request. As this was included in the summary fee schedule adopted by the board at its November 19, 2024 meeting, I expanded that review to include any such fees from any department set forth. My opinion after this review is that the sheriff policy is inconsistent with state statutes, and I believe additional information is needed regarding the fees laid out in other departments, as they may be as well. However, I will note that I was consulted regarding the sheriff's policy prior to its implementation, and while I believe a miscommunication occurred, I was not sufficiently diligent in ensuring I had communicated clearly and prevented the passage of an unlawful policy. Ultimately, the fault is mine, and I both apologize for failing to address this sooner and thank the organizations that brought the matter to light, end quote. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A big night for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors 120 to 110. And that was without Giannis, who was scratched an hour before the game with knee soreness. Ryan Rollins stepped up with a career-high 32 points and was able to guard Stephen Curry. Doc Rivers.
I think you can put Ryan on anyone in as far as a guard. You know, Steph, there is no tougher guard, maybe in NBA history, other than Michael. To be able to guard Steph and then still score points, the number one thing it tells you about his conditioning level, and then it tells you about his mental toughness.
Baseball, Game 6 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays up 3-2 over the Dodgers. NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Month and says the team is getting better every day.
We're just getting more advanced, and you know, it's a good thing when everyone's knowledgeable, when everyone's coming to work to learn, and everyone knows when their opportunity is going to be there.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up as we head through your Halloween afternoon and showers becoming likely. Highs in the upper 40s, a west to northwest wind of 5 to 10. And we'll have to contend with a few of those showers around at trick-or-treat time. Overnight lows in the lower 30s. Currently 44 degrees.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr drops by with great music and fun chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, October 31st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Happy Halloween, everybody, from the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the intersection of State and Fairchild. Mr. Zommers, happy Halloween.
Ha ha ha, happy Halloween, Todd. It's such a good holiday to be here.
This is fantastic. If you're not watching the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twix, whatever, Zommers got the memo. He is dressed in costume and character. You look fantastic.
Thank you. I know I always do. I'm Tommy Wiseau, director and star of the hit motion picture, The Room. I have it right here. It's my movie.
Now explain to people for radio who might not see you the character that you are dressed in as and the impersonation you do, which is very good, by the way.
So The Room is a terrible, terrible movie. It's basically, Tommy Wiseau, super rich guy from somewhere in Europe. Maybe we know by now, but for a long time we didn't. Who bought movie equipment, which you normally rent. So that was weird, first off. And it's just, it's bad in such a funny way. And he does talk like that throughout the whole thing. And I don't know. There's not a whole lot more to say besides that.
Is it the football as well? Is that the connection to the football? Yeah.
They toss the football around to play catch throughout the movie because it is clear that Tommy wants nothing more than to be seen as an all-American hero.
I think it's very creative and well done. I give you an A+. Well done, Zommers.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Nice story, Todd.
Look, if you were listening yesterday, I have a costume. Zommers has seen pictures. I shopped it around. I put it through the sensors. And surprisingly, now Mom, who I thought would say, and by the way, it's Zommers, it's not like inappropriate in terms of like socially or sexually or anything like that. It's not that kind of inappropriate. And I thought Mom would see it. And she said, well, don't cause trouble. But no, I showed it. Her mom's first reaction was, well, wear it, but don't say anything.
The thing that's wrong with it is that it references a topic that is a sore spot for a lot of people right now.
A sore spot, and a lot of people don't have a sense of humor about it. And so, like, the week I have had, I just said, I don't need it. I don't need it. And so I'm like, just let well enough alone. So we got some colored lights up. We got a little orange and purple lighting up in the studio here. And Zommer's dressed up for Halloween. So I'm spooky enough without makeup or anything else, or a wig, or a University of Indiana t-shirt on.
Nothing like that, you know.
the earrings in particular, the costume, I really enjoyed. And the wig only cost $9, and I thought it was fantastic.
The earrings were a good touch.
Thank you. Maybe at a later date, we'll reveal the costume.
Maybe.
But not today. Not today. Well, I hope all of you have a very happy Halloween. In all seriousness, if you're driving around this afternoon or tonight, please, 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 I beg of you, go slower than normal. Obviously, keep your lights on and watch out. And for goodness sake, don't be texting or looking at a phone or anything else, because there's all sorts of kids. I know that Mayor Cavalier Johnson has brought back Halloween trick-or-treating on Halloween proper this afternoon and tonight for the first time in several years. And you know what? I say good on him. It's a fun time if you're doing it as a family or you go out and get candy or whatever. But we want to make sure that everyone gets home safely. So drive slowly this afternoon and tonight. Watch out for kids, because these kids, you know what it's like. You're just trying to get to as many houses as you can to get as much candy. And they're going to be darting out from the middle of the block in between parked cars. They're not going to follow the crosswalks as much as we'd like them to. So do your part if you're a driver, and drive carefully today. All right. And tonight, but have fun with it. Have fun with it. I know Mom, as I said, is all set back in Richland Center. At last count, I believe she was down to 168 pieces of candy. Because she had like 171 or something, and we just had a couple.
A couple. Yeah.
So I think and she has Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Snickers, and then an assortment of other things. So the Ewing boys and girls better get over there early. So enjoy the trick-or-treating tonight, everyone. Do so safely, but have a good time with it. It's a fun and silly holiday. And look, we all need a break right now and to have some relief. Speaking of some relief here, I want to take just a minute to make a correction from yesterday's show. We had on this program the fine author, Chuck Collins, of his new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Constrained or Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. He is also part of the Patriotic Millionaires. And in this new book, he has a section, and there is an article in The Nation right now, entitled The Billionaire Oligarchs Are Coming for Your Pets. And it's very enlightening. And interesting, because a lot of these conglomerates have bought up companies that supply our pet food, that run our veterinary clinics and things like that. And I encourage everybody to go read this by Chuck Collins. But here's something I want to call out. And many thanks to, I want to make sure I get the listener right, Nancy in Middleton, listening on MDX. And this is one of the reasons I love this program. Because our listeners keep me honest. And, you know, if I'm going to come on the air every day and say pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it, we got to make sure if we get something inaccurate that we correct it. And so that's what I want to do. But first, Nancy texted in yesterday. She said, Todd, sharing a personal story there. Now, I don't have the if you could find the Zomers from yesterday, because I want to make sure that we read that. She pointed out, I mentioned in this piece by Chuck Collins, he pointed out several of these companies, one of them being Mars, the Mars Corporation. It's like M&M's, Mars candy bars, and things like that. They're buying up several pet food companies and raising the prices exorbitantly. And this is completely 100% on me, equated the Mars company with the Mars candy bar. And so Elizabeth, thank you, Zomers, Elizabeth in Columbia County, a new texter, we appreciate that, Elizabeth, on WMDX said, Todd, Mounds Pet Food Warehouse is a poor example from an outside investor group. Last I knew, it's a small Madison area chain that is quite charitable to local causes. Well, Elizabeth, you are 100% correct, and I was 100% incorrect. Because they give away the free Mound candy bar, I, Todd, equated in my head, oh, they must be owned by Mars. And so I brought that up kind of as an indirect example. Well, guess what? I was 100% wrong, because Mound's Pet Food Warehouse in Madison was owned privately. And about 5 years ago, the owner of said company, Mound Pet Food Warehouse, thought, well, I don't want a conglomerate to own this. So he made it 100% employee owned. So Mowen's Pet Food Warehouse here in Dane County, at least, is 100% employee owned. They're fine people. And my apologies for inferring incorrectly that it was anything but that. So thank you, Elizabeth, for keeping us honest. And, you know, you can go shop and buy your treats or whatever at Mowen's Pet Food Warehouse and feel good about it. And you can also read the book by Chuck Collins on Burned by Billionaires, where he does go through some of these corporations that own pet food. So there you go, Albert. It's always good to have a little keep me honest, right? Yep.
Thanks for keeping us all honest.
Yep, we appreciate not you. It was all on me. I want to be sure that's understood. This is all on me. 15 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Want to get this breaking news out there. This, according to NBC, a Rhode Island federal judge this afternoon ordered the U.S. Department of Agriculture to distribute money owed by recipients of the Supplement Nutrition Assistance Program, quote-unquote, as soon as possible, just one day before the funding to SNAP is set to lapse. U.S. District Judge John McConnell's ruling from the bench came shortly after another federal judge in a separate case said that the Trump administration's plan not to pay out SNAP benefits beginning tomorrow due to ongoing federal government shutdown was, quote, unlawful, unquote, but stopped short of ordering the Trump administration to disperse funds. Ruling in favor of the group of cities and community organizations that sued over the cuts, McConnell said that the USDA must fund SNAP using money in a contingency fund. And again, this is breaking news here. We'll see if this reaches beyond that portion, you know, in Rhode Island. But as we started out yesterday, I think there's a lot of people out there. I base this on my own experience growing up as a kid when my mom was a single mother and wanted some help and said because she had a small fund that was basically a gift from my grandparents of a couple of $1,000 in a savings account for our college, she either had to get rid of that or she couldn't get any help. It was either one or the other. And she chose to keep our college funds and eat, you know, we used to call it cardboard pizza. Tombstone, nothing wrong with Tombstone pizza, by the way, but just a frozen pizza and heat our kitchen. And she ate the leftovers, the little bit that there was, and went to bed hungry and wore hand-me-down clothes from her aunt. And that's how we got through. And there are a lot of people, I think, in this state right now who are facing similar circumstances starting tomorrow. And we've seen this with the increased use of food pantries across the state, that they honestly don't give a crap who's to blame. They're like, I got one question. Am I getting the benefits or not? No? Okay. Then I got to figure this out. And there's a lot of blame to go around. I get that. But I hope that, I mean, none of us individually are going to force the government to reopen. None of us individually are going to force anybody in the state legislature here in Wisconsin to use the $4 billion-plus surplus to fund state SNAP benefits. Do I think they should? Heck yeah. But none of us individually are going to do that. What can we do as individuals today? We can take 5 cans of soup, or if you can afford it, more, down to our local food pantry. We can write a check for $10 or $100 or $500, whatever you can afford, to your local food pantry. And as our friend Kira Sabin, the life coach and positivity psychologist, reminds us, our brains are not built for negativity and the world is ending every day. We need to have some hope. We need to be reminded that we're all in this together. And so I hope all of us across this state, whatever you can do today, tomorrow, this weekend, to help our friends and neighbors through this difficult time, and yes, hold our local elected, or hold our state and federal officials responsible. But it's more empowering, in my opinion, and actually more helpful if we help our friends and neighbors in need. And oh, maybe less judgment on our friends and neighbors as well. Because as we've learned through our program, through Matt and Aaron, through Jade and Greg's conversation with farmers, agriculture people, there are folks working on farms that are they're using SNAP benefits and the ACA, Obamacare. And there are urban people. We're all in this together. We're all Wisconsinites. Come on back, take a couple of phone calls, talk Halloween, and then a special guest at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It's a Friday edition, TGIF. Happy Halloween of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour and take the extra time to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors, too. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Halloween, 22 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Who was it? Mike in Spring Green?
Yes, Mike in Spring Green called in during the break to thank Todd for correctly pronouncing Halloween. It is a pet peeve of his when people say Halloween.
Halloween.
It is an A, not an O at the beginning.
I can't pronounce nuclear, but I can pronounce Halloween. So, and you know what? I'll take Halloween.
You gotta take the wins you get.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Listen to us on WRCE 107.7 out of Richland Center. You can get it loud and clear now in beautiful Spring Green. Talking about the SNAP benefits that are set to end. Used to be known as food stamps. Stamps, now they're called SNAP benefits. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday, I think. Kind of the cruelty, right? My former party, the Republican Party, that I left in 2011. And, you know, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I've told you before, the main reason I left is because I witnessed voter suppression issues behind closed doors. But the other thing, one of the other things that was a close second, and I only mentioned it because the guy is still in office. When this issue came up back in like 2011 or so, it was like, well, should the state legislature make a list of what things people on SNAP benefits can and cannot buy? And hand to God, I testify under oath, Glenn Grothman, then state senator, now congressman in Wisconsin, and Mary Lozick. Glenn Grothman and Mary Lozick were absolutely infatuated over Skittles And Glenn Grossman sat there in a closed Senate Republican caucus and debated, well, I'm not really sure whether parents on SNAP should be buying Skittles for their kids. And I think it was my boss that was like, Glenn, we really don't have more important things to do than debate this. Look, we give them the benefit. The parent got to trust the parents. And these people wanted to, you know, Skittles. I mean, it was just unbelievable. 855-752-4842. And the overarching point that I have is do something locally. Give to your local food pantry a couple of bucks, $100, wherever you can afford, or give them some food. Let's help our friends and neighbors. Rick in Waukesha, listening on WAUK. Rick, thanks for listening. Go ahead.
Todd, you're so brilliant. I got an idea from Maggie Dawn's show yesterday with all of her statistic information she put on the table with children that are on SNAP and not in areas and numbers. And I got an idea. You know, I'm an old John Kennedy. Why not?
Sure.
What if we put this on the table? You got the idea of how government works with proposals. This idea of taking all the federal employee statistics on wages, put them on the table with them, start comparing, and maybe ranks, maybe elected or not elected, and then start borrowing some of their paychecks percentage-wise in areas to temporarily loan SNAP money until they can take it out of the defense fund or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's an idea. I appreciate the call, Rick. Thank you very much. Rick and Waukesha listening on WAUK. I mean, hey, no creative, well-intended ideas or bad ones. Always good to put them on the table. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Matt listening in Middleton here on WMDX. Matt, you wanted to comment on our guest yesterday, Chuck Collins, who has the new book out called Burned by Billionaires. What say you, Matt?
Hey, guys, thanks again for what you do. Just wanted to comment on that tax policy is a unifying source of anger in America, I think, all across the board. We don't feel like we get much out of our tax dollars as compared to a country like Germany where you pay 44%, rich or poor, and you feel it. You get job support training, you get good health care, you get good infrastructure, all these benefits. But I wanted to also talk about this equity firm nonsense that's ruining the American economy and has been for a while now. They've got their hands all into our housing. But I had a friend that worked at Ace Hardware, and one of these big firms came and bought his Ace Hardware, and they had a representative say, you know, well, you're going to get a more consistent schedule. You'll get 401k, blah, sure. blah, blah. And, of course, as soon as they start, they raise the prices. He gets less hours. And the same terrible pay per hour. So say goodbye to Ace Hardware as well.
Appreciate the call, Matt. I mean, I don't know that specifically, so just want to be careful in terms of me saying something. But I think the point is well taken, Matt. And I think that Chuck Collins' book, who comes from the Oscar Mayer family, Give Up His Own Wealth. Check out the book, Burned by Billionaires. I think that any books that make us think about where we're spending our money and who's actually controlling things, always good to pause and reflect. As my former teacher, Andy Spies, was fond of saying. One of our listeners on YouTube says, I like to grow organic in my garden. The food bank in my town, Merrill, beautiful town of Merrill, that's in the listening area of WXCO out of Wausau, says, we'll take garden food. I donated 109 pounds of zucchini to my food bank. I do this every year. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about, Cornell. Thank you very much for listening up there in beautiful Merrill, Wisconsin. Cornell's donating zucchini. And I think we could all do something, and that's really, really important. Quick other breaking news here before we get to the farm report. Governor Tony Evers today signed a bipartisan, how about that, bipartisan bill aimed at creating a statewide ban on cell phone use in the classroom. We'll have more on that a little bit later in the show. So, hey, you know what? When this state can come together politically to get anything done, I think that's worth celebrating. So moving forward, cell phones will be banned in classrooms. Like that'll be music to the ears of a lot of educators across the state. When we come back, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have Juan Garcia here, who is the Wisconsin Project Manager for Somos Votantes, or Somos Creativos, and talk a little Dia de los Muertos. That is Day of the Dead celebration in Milwaukee coming up tomorrow. Come on back. Farm News is next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The 98th National FFA Convention draws to a close tomorrow in Indianapolis, Indiana. With more than 72,000 in attendance, it begs the question, where will they meet next year? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday, and we'll give you that answer next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Cheryl Zimmerman is not only Wisconsin's executive director of the state FFA, she's also on the National FFA Board as their executive secretary. She tells us that they've committed to being in Indianapolis, Indiana for the national convention through 2040. And it's going to mean Indianapolis has to continue to grow with the convention.
Well, you know, I've been to a number of national FFA conventions, and even thinking back to when we first came here, you know, they switched from having the RCA Dome, which was the football stadium at that time, and then obviously Lucas Oil Stadium came here, and then that now has become the venue where our events are, our main convention sessions. And then the opportunity as we look out the windows of the convention center, as that has expanded, there's a new hotel and more convention space coming. So Indianapolis is growing right along with our organization. And that's what really helps in this key partnership, is that they're willing and they know that we want and have more members that want to be a part of this, and they're willing to help us make that happen.
Cheryl Zimmerman, she is the executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Center, also the executive secretary of the National FFA. Just in case you wondered, Indianapolis, Indiana as a whole has a population of about 850,000 residents, and this week, more than 72,000 visitors that were part of the FFA.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you?
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
And a quick congratulations to some of the national winners that were recognized last night from Wisconsin. Owen Helmling from Beaver Dam in Agri-Science Fair, Josie Roberts from Portage in the Prepared Public Speaking, Hannah Olson from Adams Friendship in Beef Production Placement, and Marshall Kleiman from Granton in the Dairy Production Entrepreneurship category. See more at FFA.org. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up as we head through your Halloween afternoon, and showers becoming likely. Highs in the upper 40s, a west to northwest wind of 5 to 10. And we'll have to contend with a few of those showers around at trick-or-treat time. Overnight lows in the lower 30s. Currently 44 degrees.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang,
there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. I can listen to that all afternoon. Thank you, Zombers. Dialing up a little of the playlist from the motion picture Coco from Disney. A great animated film about one of the subjects we're going to talk about next. Dia de los Muertos, or for those of us who are gringos, Day of the Dead, is a great Latino celebration, and here to talk not just about that, but also his organization. Joining us via StreamYard from Milwaukee, Juan Garcia, who is the Wisconsin Project Manager for Somos Votantes. And I appreciate you being here, Juan. Forgive the bad Espanol. As I tell people, it's gringo Espanol, but I try because I think it's a beautiful language.
No, it is truly appreciated, Todd. Thank you for having me. And you know, I'm excited to be here to talk about our event that's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, you're here to talk about this event called Somos Creativos in Milwaukee. But first of all, as we do with all guests who are new to the program, Juan, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and what led you to work for Somos.
Yes, so I grew up in Aurora, Illinois, the second largest city of Illinois. I moved out to Wisconsin 5 years ago and have been doing programming, trying to get Latinos engaged at different capacities, different organizations for the past 5 years. As of recently this year, I joined Somos Votantes, who is the leading Latino organization trying to get Latinos engaged, civically engaged, and have been doing programs throughout this year, attempting to slowly create a community of involved folks here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, but I do statewide work.
I don't know that there's more important work to be done right now, Juan, and regular listeners to this show will know that I've been to El Salvador over 39 times over 25 years or so. Mi comadre, for those that don't know, it's a Spanish word for godmother or godparent, mi compadres. My comadre is from El Salvador originally. I have two godsons. And so the culture, the Latino culture and traditions, A, are near and dear to my heart. As and perhaps more importantly, in these strange and unfortunately dangerous times, I think that clarity, that unity, and that accurate information is being disseminated, particularly with the Latino community, but also for those of us that aren't directly there, that we have this dialogue and understand one another.
Yeah, no, and now more than ever, like you said, you know, there's a reason people come here, and unfortunately, one of those reasons is the distrust in government within their own countries, and unfortunately, from the research that Somos has been doing, and what we know through different polling is that, you know, this government currently is failing a lot of our folks, Latino folks, economically, and they're feeling it a lot in their pockets, and you know, just the tariffs, about 71% of Latinos are feeling the tariffs with the prices going up. And so now more than ever, we have to make sure that we're there for our community. We educate and we try to tell them how to get involved so that they don't feel completely disillusioned with the U.S. government. And unfortunately, that's the hard reality right now. But, you know, it's the American principles that we believe in should reign higher and stronger more than ever to keep it alive.
As someone whose great-grandparents immigrated, or at least a couple of them did from Germany, another one from the old Czech Republic or Bohemia, and there's a lot of people that settled in this state years ago turns out, didn't speak English as their first language. And somehow they managed and got along. And I think that's a good reminder for those of us who might have white heritage that the current iteration of Latinos that might look a little, you know, better pigmented, quite frankly, than a guy, a pasty white guy like me, just because those folks may speak Spanish as their first language, they're very vital contributors to all of our communities. And in many cases, turns out, are U.S. citizens that are legally able to vote.
That is correct, yes. And a growing number, right? We are, of course, economically, we are the engine when it comes to small businesses and just being able to build that out. And so, yeah, we are a large voting bloc that have yet to find a way to make the impact that we want to, but slowly but surely we'll make sure that we, you know, we advocate for our community the best way that we can through our voting power.
What can we do, Juan? We're talking with Juan Garcia, who is the Wisconsin project manager for Somos Votantes here in the state of Wisconsin. What can we do, those of us who might not be directly Latino, what can we do to be supportive and encouraging to those friends and neighbors around us?
Yeah, the simple fact of just coming on this radio show and hearing you speak Spanish and want to embrace, you know, folks like us, folks like me, want to show your solidarity in that way, it's huge. Wanting to learn about our cultures that we have, a range of cultures, because obviously Latin America is such a huge place, but wanting to know in a true, genuine way what we're all about, what we can offer, both culturally and economically, I think it's the best way to show your support and for us to feel it directly. Showing up in different places, a lot of events were affected this past September during Hispanic Heritage Month because of the fear. Just being able to show up to those events and ensure that, you know, there are people standing up with us. It comes of huge support. And just, you know, what you do here in this show, it's just truly amazing. Being able to talk about the facts and what's truly going on out in the community just helps other people understand that we are being targeted and we are being, we are suffering. Mm-hmm. But just this particular way is very soothing for us to understand that we have allies throughout different communities.
And what better way to show you that we have allies to have fun together? And we played that music from the Disney film a few years ago, Coco, which is about this great day because, you know, today is Halloween. Most Americans know about Halloween. But tomorrow is designated an English Day of the Dead or Dia de los Muertos. And tomorrow in Milwaukee, Somos is presenting Somos Creativos, a vintage market celebrating Latino arts and small business. Tell us about that.
Yes, so Somos Creativos, the literate translation says we are creative. And so we've partnered up with Dream Lab. Sean, the owner, is an amazing gentleman there that just, it's all about art and making sure that we bring community together. So we partner up with Dream Lab in order to bring Latino artists, Latino small business owners that create their own art through clothes, through jewelry, through paintings, through furniture. I don't know how that works, but it happens. to come together this November 1st, Dia de los Muertos, so they can showcase their art to the community. Somos is providing a pathway for them to showcase their art, to sell their art, to grow as business owners. We'll be buying a certain amount of items from each vendor and giving it away to the community so they can appreciate the art and hopefully we have a good bunch of people come out and support by buying this this amazing art that's going to be displayed by these great artists, Latino artists. And that's the beauty of it. All vendors there are going to be Latino owned. And I'm just really excited that they have the opportunity to showcase this to the community.
Juan Garcia, Wisconsin project manager for Somos Votantes, is our guest right now. I think this is a great one because those of us who grew up in small towns in Wisconsin, you know, we may have heard All Saints Day. If you're a Protestant or even a Catholic, and you go and you hear the minister or the priest, All Saints Day, the day after Hallowe'en, and we'd say, for all the saints. It was very, very formal, whatever. But this is so much more fun because it's explain this Dia de los Muertos. It's celebrating those who have passed before us, right?
Yes. So the ultimate plot of Coco, and which it kind of reminds me of what the Day of the Dead is to never forget our ancestors, to never forget the people that have passed, and to, you know, just remember them through an ofrenda, which ultimately is a small altar where we put a picture in and we put their favorite things that they did when they were living. You know, if someone liked to sew, we would put a piece of cloth or you know, the sewing materials to commemorate and just remember who they truly were and just never forget about their existence. And while the name of it sounds a little bit scary, it's a day to come together to as a family, bring food, you know, and just remember the good old times that the people, our ancestors and those who came before us, and what they liked and the good old days, like we know them.
Is it fair to say, because in this country, Memorial Day is a day that maybe traditionally that we would celebrate, you know, those who have passed in our families. It was originally called Decoration Day for people who passed away in the military in World War I or II. My history is escaping me right now. And that kind of got moved from just a day of remembering those who passed away in military service to everybody. And is this kind of the Latino equivalent of that one? Is that a fair statement, do you think?
I would say yes. It's exactly that, except we actually go to
the
cemetery. Yeah, more a little bit lively. You know, yeah. We celebrate with music, we celebrate with food, we go to the cemetery, we bring flowers, and everyone is just kind of like either coming together at home or coming together at cemeteries and just creating another party. You know, something that Latinos love is parties and just coming alive, coming together, eating a lot, and just celebrating, and we just found another reason to celebrate in life.
I think it's great. My first Christmas in El Salvador, I didn't realize it was also the 4th of July for a gringo. But, you know, there's a celebration, there's fireworks, there's happiness, there's joy. And I don't say this about many things in my life, but the first time I went there, and my friend came from a very poor family, and it changed my life from the regard that it showed me that what Christmas is about is family and friends and simple but good food and just gratefulness. And it's not about all the material possessions. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the Latino culture in many ways. It's this celebration of life and spirit and one another.
Yes, exactly. And I think you learned pretty early on from your comadre that if they have two plates of rice and there are three people there, we'll make sure that everyone is fed and we'll make sure that every last person gets, you know, a piece of the food and we'll literally, you know, take the coat off our shoulders and give it to you just to make sure that we're all welcome and we're all a part of the celebration. So, I totally agree with you. And you know, we're ready to celebrate tomorrow.
Let's remind people it is tomorrow from 10 o'clock until 2 in the afternoon, going to be at 738 South 3rd Street in Milwaukee. We'll put this in our show notes, and we can put that up on the screen as well. What's the actual, is there the venue called that it's being held at?
Yes, it's called Dream Lab.
Dream Lab,
and so
okay.
It's in Walker's Point, in the neighborhood of Walker's Point in Milwaukee.
All right, that's great. Walker's Point. And so you're going to have a Latino featured artist, small business owners, creative entrepreneurs, and everybody's welcome, right? You don't have to speak Spanish to come. Everybody can come.
No, yes, this is open to the public. We hope that people can come on and learn or just meet new people, you know, whatever it may be that you're in town for. We want to make sure that you have a place to come and celebrate a little bit.
Well, I think it's fantastic, and we'd love to have you back on to talk about Somos a little more. You're doing great work. I think this is how we build bridges in our communities, and I really appreciate you. Juan Garcia, Wisconsin Project Manager at Somos Votantes. Thank you very much, Juan. We appreciate you, and have a wonderful celebration tomorrow.
Thank you, Todd. Hope to be back soon.
Absolutely. Juan Garcia, everybody. Come on back. A little bit more news for you on a Friday afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
The executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deb Cronmiller, is here. There is a proposal for an independent commission to draw maps in Wisconsin. What a crazy whacked out idea.
How long have people been talking about getting an independent commission in Wisconsin?
You know, going back to 1971, that was the last time that our legislature and our governor actually agreed on maps.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You say, put them on your head. Ay, mi amor, ay, mi amor.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock, the top of the hour, ABC, CBS News, and hour number two, which will include Peter Rapine, our old friend, managing editor at EBOM's World, with news of the wild and wacky, the humorous week. I need this summer's, in particular this week, to end it on a humorous light note. So looking forward to Rapine at the bottom of the hour. More music there on the way in from the motion picture Coco, the animated picture from Disney about Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. It's a great film.
This time the English version of Un Poco Loco, a little bit crazy.
Very good. Un Poco Loco. Many people would say about me, Todd's Un Poco Loco.
Thank you. Us,
many thanks to Juan Garcia. How about Juan Garcia? He was fantastic.
Absolutely.
And the great organization, Somos Votantes. And we appreciate him being on. And we've already got another event coming up in November, November 22nd. So we'll have him back on in here in a few weeks to talk about that.
Yeah, it's going to be just a quick thing out sharing food for Thanksgiving for Latino families.
I think it is.
more traditional Latino food.
Tamales.
Because
tamales.
Turkey, not necessarily the move in that culture.
If you got pavo, which is the word for turkey, if you got pavo tamales or tamales de pavo.
Now that sounds tasty.
Mmm, qué rico, papi. See, I'm not fluent. I wish I was. Maybe that's the play, Zomers. I've been debating. Maybe I've just stumbled upon this in real time on the air. Maybe I should just move to El Salvador with my Starlink and I could do the show every day. Wouldn't matter. And I would be on a beach.
You'd get a lot better at Spanish.
And I'd get a lot better on Spanish. We could have a bilingual podcast.
You know, I've always been, after taking Spanish classes in school, I was pretty good at hearing and reading Spanish, but speaking, not so much.
I need immersion. That will be the pitch to the 12th floor. I need to be immersed into a second language. And I mean, nobody's going to miss me here. I might as well be on a warm beach doing the show every day.
Although
I could do this gig anyway. I mean, I could. It's not required that I sit here, right?
Yes, but if you want to go to a place in Wisconsin, well, that's going to be a lot more difficult and expensive.
But maybe we start doing shows on the road from Latin America.
Maybe, but
for some reason, I don't think that's going to pass.
I don't think so either.
People on the 12th floor, but it's a nice idea. It's a nice idea. Many thanks to Juan Garcia for being here. As I said, Ray Pine's coming up here in hour number two as well. Oh, Casper said he'd miss me. So you and Casper, thank you. I appreciate
that.
There's
at least that. A few of us.
There's a couple of people. If I didn't show up, it would. All right, we appreciate. Well, just I'm spitballing. All right, here. Speaking of spooky news, and I wish this were as kind of an awkward transition. This is not funny, and quite scary. And maybe we'll come back to it later. This is from Axios. Several top figures in the Trump administration have opted to live in military housing in the Washington, D.C. area instead of private homes due to safety fears, according to The Atlantic in their new report. Why it matters is the result of the growing political polarization and violence toward politicians within our country, per The Atlantic. Now, I'm going to stop there, give you some an analysis. In other words, Todd's opinion. I find, and this is the way it's being spun to The Atlantic by the Trump administration, that has become so polarized and threatening in D.C. that people like Kristi Noem and Stephen Miller and Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio are now having to move into Fort McNair, a military base. Now, I find this interesting only because Donald Trump's walking around saying Washington, D.C. has never been safer because he's militarized it. So if his militarization of D.C. is successful and it's the safest city in America, why are his top secretaries moving into military bases? I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole of speculation here. To put it bluntly, it don't add up. And I'm getting a little nervous, honestly, when you have non-military people in a presidential cabinet who are now moving on to military bases. It seems like a harbinger, a precursor that things could get a little scary. And folks are moving on to military bases for their own protection, not from protesters, but from what may be ahead in the future. Something to keep our eyes on, I think. Because I don't buy, I mean, The Atlantic reporting is fine. I just don't buy the reason from the Trump administration why these top officials are moving on to military bases.
Like you said, if they've got control of the situation, why would there be any danger unless they either don't have control, which is not the case because we already know crime was down, or they're planning something, potentially.
Potentially. And again, I don't want to be alarmist to too much of a degree, but that came across the wires kind of quietly last night, and I checked into it, found several sources, and yeah, as it turns, Kristi Noem now lives in the home meant for the Coast Guard Commandant. How's the Coast Guard Commandant feeling about that? That he got kicked out of his house on his own military base. So Kristi Noem. The good news is Kristi Noem did not bring a dog.
If she did, she wouldn't bring one back.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll keep track of that. All right, come on back. A Wisconsin fun fact on the other side for Halloween. Also, a what's worse Halloween candy edition. And Peter Rapine in with the wild and wacky news headlines. It's the second hour of the Todd Allbull Show, straight ahead with Aaron Summers on the board across Wisconsin on this Halloween on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration has been ordered by federal courts to keep providing SNAP food assistance despite the ongoing government shutdown. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Earlier this month, the Trump administration reversed its initial promise that it would keep SNAP benefits flowing by using a contingency fund. It decided that fund is for disasters like hurricanes. But now two federal judges say that's a misreading of the law. The $5 to $6 billion in the fund would not be enough to cover the program for the month of November, but both judges sitting in Massachusetts and in Rhode Island say it must go out ASAP.
An estimated 42 million Americans rely on federal food assistance programs. Hurricane Melissa out to sea after grazing Bermuda last night. The massive storm, though, being blamed for at least 19 deaths in Jamaica after it hit as a Category 5 storm. U.S. military helicopters are delivering aid. And on this fright night, the Mega Millions jackpot is monstrous, up to $754 million. This is ABC News.